This is NPR's All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. 25 years ago this week, a show opened that changed the course of musical theater. Rejecting traditional sets, costumes, and big stars, it introduced gritty psychological realism to musicals. A Chorus Line is part of the NPR 100, 100 of the most significant American musical works of the century just past. NPR's Susan Stamberg reports on the show and the least known member of its creative team.
This Chorus Line song became an anthem.
One singular sensation, every little step she takes. One thrilling combination, every move that she makes.
A backstage musical about dancers auditioning for a chorus line, pouring their hearts out to get the job. One is the number a chorus performs behind the star to make her or him look good. But in this show, one also stands for the united facelessness of all those gypsy hoofers desperate to dance. A Chorus Line dances, sings, and makes almost nonstop music for 2 hours and 10 minutes, no intermission. Marvin Hamlisch is the composer. The lyrics are by Edward Kleban. In 1983, when Chorus Line became the longest-running musical in Broadway history, that record was broken just 3 years ago by Cats, lyricist Ed Kleban talked to me about his show and this, its singularly sensational song.
One singular sensation, every little step he takes. One thrilling combination, every move that he makes.
Edward Kleban, of all the lyrics that you wrote for Chorus Line, are the lyrics to One, which is in a way the signature song for that show, are those lyrics your favorite?
Oh, no, not at all, no. They were the hardest, in a way, the lyrics to One, because they had to sort of say nothing and everything at the same time.
That and What I Did for Love have become really the two hit songs for that show. Do you like What I Did for Love?
No, I like that the least, actually.
Kiss today goodbye. The sweetness and the sorrow. Wish me luck.
Ed Kleban didn't like What I Did for Love precisely because it was written to be a hit. It didn't do what he thought theater songs should do, further the plot, reveal character. In fact, lyricist Ed Kleban disliked that song so much that he put a note about it in his last will and testament, read at his 1988 memorial service by Linda Klein, his longtime companion.
Anyone who wants to play an instrument or to sing any songs or music, with the exception of the composition What I Did for Love, which I do not wish to be performed at my funeral, should also be allowed.
Ed Kleban was a notorious perfectionist, a stickler, impossible sometimes. He was one of my dearest friends since high school. Witty, creative, and idiosyncratic, he took naps every afternoon from noon to three and simply could not deal with the Lincoln Tunnel. Lyricist Edward Kleban collected dictionaries, began subscribing to the New Yorker magazine when he was 16, and it was still Definitive. After A Chorus Line made him a millionaire, Kleban wore custom-made shirts with stripes. And in the last months of 1987, as he was dying of cancer of the mouth, the 48-year-old Edward Kleban found solace in Beethoven's string quartets, and no solace in most of his own songs. Despite the Pulitzer Prize, the Tonys, the New York Drama Critics Circle Awards, Kleban liked only about 65% of A Chorus Line. But there was one song he loved.
Life with my dad wasn't ever a picnic, more like a come as you are. When I was 5, I remember my mother dug earrings out of the car. I knew that they weren't hers, but it wasn't something you'd want to discuss. He wasn't warm. Well, not to her. Well, not to us. But everything was beautiful at the ballet. graceful men lift lovely girls in white. Yes, everything was beautiful at the ballet. I was happy at the ballet.
You know, I just think it's a very honest, very compelling tale of, you know, unhappy home life and into the artistic process as a salvation for those people.
Is there one particular moment or cluster of words that you wrote for it that are special favorites for you, that give you pleasure every time that you hear it?
No, I love the whole song. I usually cry. It's the rare performance about the ballet that doesn't make me cry all over again. I don't know why. You know, just, I cried when I wrote it. I can't tell you why.
Mother always said I'd be very attractive when I grew up, when I grew up. Different, she said, with a special something and a very, very personal flair. And though I was 8 or 9, though I was 8 or 9, though I was 8 or 9, I hated her.
Well, I like particularly that one section that goes up a steep and very narrow stairway.
Yeah, interestingly enough, in just about every town in America, the dance studio is up a steep and very narrow stairway. Up a steep and very narrow stairway to the voice like a metronome.
Like a metronome. Up a steep and very narrow stairway. It wasn't paradise. It wasn't paradise, but it was home.
Ed Kleban said that once he'd written that section, he knew he'd be okay working on this, his first Broadway show. What a way to hit Broadway. Nearly 7 million people saw A Chorus Line in its 15 years on Broadway. They came for a show full of dancing and drama, conceived, choreographed, and directed by the brilliant Michael Bennett. A show about hope, Bennett said. A Chorus Line opened after the era of the big musicals, Hello, Dolly, Fiddler on the Roof, My Fair Lady. By 1975, traditional musicals were in decline. Stephen Sondheim was writing cool, cerebral shows. A Chorus Line, with its earnest, striving, caring, dancing job hunters, put the heart back into Broadway musicals. The show is about A Chorus Line, who gets picked, who doesn't, how they got there from childhood miseries, cruel parents, dull hometowns. One of the dancers, Cassie, is back in New York after trying to make it in Hollywood. The director of the show she's auditioning for was once her lover. In an early version of A Chorus Line, Cassie did not get the job.
Because it certainly can be argued that in real life, someone's ex-lover who is being troublesome the entire evening is not someone that you would cast, after all, you know, in your forthcoming show that's going out on the road in 8 weeks. And we very carefully considered, you know, who would get the job. It's not arbitrary at all. The tall people get the job, good-looking people get the job, people who haven't been personality problems all evening get the job, if you notice. Mm-hmm. You know, if you pay strict attention, you'll see that it was a true and realistic choosing at the end of who would get the job. Mm-hmm. Except that when we sent Cassie home for those first 2 weeks of previews, I believe it was Marcia Mason, Neil Simon's then wife, who called Michael up and said, "You can't do that. I mean, you can't step on all the hopes and dreams of the entire audience and send Cassie home. You have to leave the door open a little, you know, give them some hope. It's just too brutal."
And you let Cassie get the job.
We let Cassie get the job, for whatever. Thank you, Marcia Mason.
A Chorus Line was composer Marvin Hamlisch's first Broadway show. He'd won Oscars for The Way We Were and The Sting, but like Kleban, Hamlisch was new to theater. At Ed Kleban's memorial service, Marvin Hamlisch, the last surviving member of A Chorus Line's creative team, spoke of his word-making partner.
"We've lost the real mainstay of the show. I always felt that Ed was probably one of the great unsung heroes, and I'll tell you why. Ed never liked publicity. So When the show was a smash and I would be called to go here or call there or do a radio show, I'd say to Ed, come on, let's go. No, you go. And yet, what he was able to do was to be the voice. That beautiful fusion between book and lyrics, which is what great theater lyricists are all about, was something that Ed cared so deeply about.
Edward Kleban never talked about show tunes. He said he wrote theater songs, every song like a three-act play with a beginning, middle, and end. He learned his craft and polished it at the BMI Musical Theater Workshop, where composers and lyricists try out new material. Before A Chorus Line and towards the very end of his life, Kleban produced words and music for some extraordinary theater songs. But he never had another Broadway show. Stage and screenwriter Peter Stone says at the age of 36, Kleban basically stopped writing.
The reason he gave that he'd retired. He used the word to me several times. I've retired, he said. It was at that point that I finally realized something very important about Ed. That all his life he had been totally unprepared for success. But life being cruel, he was going to have to live with it anyway.
A month after A Chorus Line blazed onto Broadway, Edward Kleban went to his 20th high school reunion. Members of the High School of Music and Art class of 1955 were asked to write down their current addresses and occupations. Ed, signing in, said, "Last year I earned $500 as a songwriter. 2 months ago, under occupation, I would have written failure."
Too young to take over.
Anyone who ever loved musical theater, anyone who ever went after something wholeheartedly and got it, or maybe more important, didn't, anyone who ever dreamed found themselves in A Chorus Line. And Edward Lawrence Kleban, its least known creator, gave audiences and performers the words to frame their experience. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR's All Things Considered.